PM. We don't, do we need to seal the minutes? Yes. Yeah. Really bad. We'll hear all that. Okay. We return to public session at 5:25 p.m. Motion made to seal the minutes, if so made by North, seconded by
Olmsted.
Roll call vote to seal the minutes. No. Olmsted?
Yes.
North, yes. Motion passed. Okay. Back in public session at 5:25 p.m. Motion to seal the minutes made by North, seconded by Olmsted. The decision was to contact a professional regarding the inventory and assessment of the situation on a property at 369 Philbrook Road. All right. Moving on to other business. Employee appreciation event planning.
So at the department head meeting last week, at the board's request, I sought the input of the department heads on what they think would be best for employee appreciation planning for this year. The recommendation that was provided was to preferably have one event in the fall during the work week rather than a smaller event in the fall and a larger family event in
So one event in the fall.
During the work day.
During the work day.
Yep, thank you.
And nothing for a night? No.
No, they felt like we'd have greater attendance with whomever is here, and that if people aren't here working.
So just stick to the employees and not just the family. So we, like I said, we did it last year for the families of, because we had a lot of new families to town, and the selectmen at the time felt it was important that the employees and the new families mingled.
This gave the families a chance to meet some of the other people in town, some of the other employees. Families.
Did they have any suggested dates and times?
No suggested dates and times. I spoke with the transfer station manager, and he said that it didn't really matter, because I would say probably a Friday maybe, because that way he would have at least one employee and they could take shifts, and then his other employee could maybe come on a day off if she's interested. But
what they normally do too is they bring down food, whatever.
Yeah.
So whatever they're giving to the employees, they make up plates and stuff
plates
and delivery. Yeah.
Now that the highway department isn't on their 4 10-hour days anymore, I think a Friday would be
accessible. Right, yep.
I know the town clerk's office is open on Fridays, although finance officer isn't here. Or you could do a Thursday. It's hard, you're not going to catch everybody. But I do know that the transfer station could have more employees that could attend on a Friday. But long story short, no particular
But they can
days.
Attend even if they're not working that day.
Yeah. So if you did it on Thursday, you could have them still come. Some other suggestions that they provided were maybe some sort of recognition for longevity of employees, maybe a certificate or something for those that have been here for a certain period of time. And also somehow trying to address everybody, even people that can't attend, whether it's a handwritten note to everybody or maybe some sort of raffle item where everybody gets a ticket even if you don't attend.
So address, so all in attendance and they can't attend, right?
Yeah, something where if you can't attend, you're still feeling appreciated and noticed. So whether it's a card or a raffle item where everybody gets the opportunity to win it, whether they attend or not, were a couple of ideas.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or even if it's something small, like if we get everybody a pin. I think somebody mentioned that we used to do pins a long time ago. If you know, if everybody gets
long
a pin
time
or
ago.
Something along that nature, or a water bottle, or just somehow to some way to address acknowledging everybody, whether they can attend a lunch or not. But yeah, no specific recommendation for a date, just during the work week.
They were just saying late. Late fall is what they, or what
it's up to, it's up to the board. That's just what the board had proposed, was a fall event and or spring event. So I think fall, we have a better chance of having highway there versus once we get into the winter months.
So.
Oh, and with police and fire, if you had it Monday through Thursday, you could get the most people on their shifts. You get at least 3 people if it was Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
Same with fire and highway.
So what about, like, it would be Thursday, like November 15th, John. It would be the week before Thanksgiving, and it's the week after elections. Because we could do it on the 8th, but everyone's going to be sleeping that day, I promise you. I got it marked off the calendar.
Yeah.
Because we get the Tuesday all day, and then we get the Wednesday night meeting, and then...
Yeah, it's just I may not be able to help very much with that.
Well, that's fine. It's going to end up being...
I'll help as much as I can.
Probably myself, and I mean, I'll give your wife a call. I know she's, yeah. She's pretty handy.
It depends on how things go.
Right, no, and I get that you're going to be out for a while, so that's why I'm saying you're out, and then I thought maybe, you know, then you're back, possibly here, but the 15th would be the week after you're allegedly back, or maybe back, or whatever. So if we tentatively schedule it for November 15th, and what time did they prefer?
There wasn't a specific...
Do you want to do a lunch? Time. Did they want to do breakfast? Did we ask that?
No, but they did say one... bigger event versus a coffee or a breakfast, and so I would assume that probably be a lunch in that case.
They usually used to put it on the stuff in the envelopes for like 12 to 1 or something like that. If we did like 12 to 2 or whatever, because that way it also, because I know when I was an employee and I never got the invite because I didn't get a check every week because I did whatever, I used to miss it a lot, and so...
Say 12 to 1:30.
Right, so I was able to come after noontime and not at noontime kind of thing, but I used to miss the 1 o'clock, so it was like... So if we did like 12 to 2 or something or whatever,
yeah,
that
12,
way...
Yeah, 12 to 1:30 or 12 to 2.
Okay.
12 to 2 would be
and
good.
We'll do lunch.
That would give more people the chance.
And then what we usually do is, let me get the flyer.
You know, it'd be kind of nice, since Thanksgiving the following week, is if you did a card saying, you know, like, we're thankful for you, given the timing that with Thanksgiving the following week and you're having a lunch, you could maybe have a little theme with that.
That's a great idea.
Thanks for the heads up.
Well, I think it's right before the holiday. It's right after the election, so we're all going to be exhausted and looking forward to the holiday break. So November 15th from 12 to 2, we'll do a lunch. We usually do it over at the Life Safety Building. So if we can just make sure that that room is open.
Sure.
And if not, we'll have to make sure that this room is open. And then we've had 1 year, we had all the food up here, and the employees just kind of ate out there, whatever, or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know that we had them RSVP before, but I usually... RSVP to you?
Yeah.
That we just have an idea of how much food to make and not waste or whatever.
Yep.
All right.
And you have a budget of $350, so you could utilize that if you want to try to cater, or, you know, maybe we tie up with the election and everything. Providing all the food.
We don't get tied after the election, Katie.
and miss Paul's Firehouse Chili.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We'll see. All right, so...
Oh, he's going to cook for himself on the...
Yeah. Well, we used to all... Originally, what we did was we used to all bring a dish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
he used to set a fire extinguisher next to his chili bowl.
We'd all bring a dish, and you guys would let the employees leave after, so it was
Right. And then it became just the lunch, and then they started putting money in the budget for it, and... Because, like, April's not here that day, but she's welcome to come between 12 and 2. And I didn't work every day or during the day most of the... Well, yeah, I worked at my house during the day for the minutes and stuff like that, but I would come for the lunch.
I wonder how much the barbecue... The gentleman that does barbecue for some events, what that would look like.
We could do it at the old town hall during the day, too. We could have the employees go up there. So we have till November 15th, and let's keep it on the agenda for at least the next week or two so we have plans.
Okay.
and confirm it all up, and food and drinks and people and, you know. When's your next department head meeting? Not till November, right?
Right, till November 1st.
Which is fine. So we have time to plan it between now and then and
yeah.
Get some more input or whatever. All right, we'll work on that. All right, Winnisquam River Basin Project.
Oh, Winnipesaukee River.
Winnipesaukee, Basin. Sorry.
It's a mouthful, I know.
Yeah.
As are most of
I'm reading it going, do we, oh, we have an update.
Yeah, so this came before you last week about the replacement fund.
Oh, right, right.
And you tabled it tonight. And so I'm going to back up a little bit and just give you a little bit more of a history on this. So, as discussed last week, the replacement fund is a portion of the charges that goes towards any emergencies within any of the communities in the program, and also large projects. And according to state statute, because the Winnipesaukee River Basin Program was established by state statute with federal funding, so there's a lot of state statutes in regards to the operations and the funds. According to state statute, it had been interpreted over the years where we were funding this fund at 5% of above ground assets over 10 years, which is where you'll see in the chart here, if you look at 2016, so prior to FY16, it shows $48,710,000. That was that amount calculated for 5% of above ground assets. Since then, the Attorney General's office informed the board and the program that that was incorrect, that it's supposed to be 5% of all assets, so above and below ground assets. So that's where this new number in the last two columns is of the $107 million figure. So obviously 5% of that is going to be a little bit more than what we were paying before. So now we're faced with this is going to be potentially an increase to some rate payers because the amount that we have to fund, that we should have been funding all along, is greater than it was before since we're including everything. So in order to raise that amount over 10 years, you have that $329,033 per year that has to be raised per year divided up between the communities. So bottom line, we have this figure of $329,033. And there are two options on how it gets divided up, and those are those last two columns. And the first column that says estimated FY20 RF using RF percent, that comes from the column that says replacement fund at the top, which is your percent capacity of the wastewater treatment plant and your percent of the flow to the pump stations. The other column is based off of O&M percent, which is the fourth column, which is the same as replacement fund but also includes percent miles of pipe. So there's two different methods on how we can break it down by community. For Samberton, the O&M obviously would be less than the RF option. But it's also less than what we were paying previously. You'll see we were paying a little under $3,900 in years past. Last year and this year we're paying $798 because we were starting to get close to funding that 5%. And as we started getting closer, we realized, we're getting close to 10 years and fully funding it, realizing that we weren't even close to funding what we should have been. So traditionally we were paying about $3,900, which is right in the middle of these two figures. And we have time to budget for either way. So the questions from the board are really, the board is recommending that we fund this at what the statute is saying we should, that the Attorney General has made clear to us, which would be that $5.4 million figure, which is this $329,000 over 10 years. They are asking, they acknowledge that in order to do this over 10 years, that would increase annual payments for some communities, and that, can communities afford this, first of all? And is 10 years feasible for communities, or are they going to have to push it out to 15 or 20 years? My recommendation is that given that these two options are within the range of what we've been paying anyway, we should probably try to be aligned with state statute and do the 5% at 10 years. It's just a question of which way do you want to break it down.
Right. So I guess my only concern now that you've that I've re-looked at this actually and that you've just re-explained that is that what if we vote for the O&M and other communities vote for the replacement fund, and so not everybody aligns in that, will it still come out to the 329.33 that they need is my only question.
It's going to come out to 329 either way. It just depends on who pays more or less of that proportionately. So either way, we would still be achieving that goal. It's just some communities may be paying more or less depending on which method you use. It's just two different formulas on how we break that $320,000 down amongst us.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think one of the things she's getting at is, are we all going to go, all the towns going to go with one method or the other? Or are some towns going to be O&M, some towns going to be replacement?
Some towns might, or some communities might have different recommendations on which formula we use, but we're going to have to go with one. So there's a chance that that the consensus or the majority is different than what a community.
But we're sure that the bottom line figure.
So we could say O&M, and everybody else could say replacement, and then we have to go with the majority and do the replacement.
I would think so. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was get that clear in my mind.
I think so. So you've kind of
say it one more time. Sorry. Say that one more time.
Well, if Samberton said we want to go with the O&M method, everybody else says they want to go with the replacement method, then we would have to go with the replacement method too to be consistent. So everybody would be going with the same method.
I get. But if we're going to work for the FY20 budget, will we know before that goes to the vote?
We would have to.
When will we know? When is everybody voting for this? Do you have a deadline?
So we are going to be discussing this at the next meeting in October, which is next week.
Okay.
So more information on timeline.
Because I would be inclined to go with the O&M method. The problem is I just want to make sure that if we go that way and everyone else goes the other way and they lump us back over there, we're going to be shy about a couple grand for a FY20 budget, right?
Right, and this is all started, or I should say it's kind of coming before you because they're looking at making changes to the legislation that dictates this replacement fund. And so as part of that, they're going to put in the language so we have it established that this is what is expected and what we're doing. There's a whole long process with legislation in terms of if that gets approved or what have you. But I'll have more information for you after the meeting next week on timeline and budget.
Do you want us to make a vote on this tonight?
I would ask that you do just so that I can know how to vote next week. So you have the question on the question on, are you okay with the 5% over 10 years?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think we both agree that we'd like to go with the O&M.
Right, so...
Okay. And O&M allocation.
Yeah.
So the motion would be that we recommend the 5% funding over 10 years and go with the O&M...
Formula.
Formula.
Second.
Any discussion? All's in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries. And then you'll just keep us posted as to...
Exactly, yep.
All right, perfect. So we're on to town building concept design process discussion.
Chair and I met with BPS and the architect yesterday as kind of a preliminary meeting, and I didn't know if you wanted to discuss an update on that. And
So I've been in town 22 years. This has been the age-old question, and these gentlemen yesterday, right, they were ingenious. They actually, we had a brainstorming session, and we actually... For all these years that I've sat on all these boards, committees, and commissions, talked about the domino effect, is what they've all called it. And yesterday it was actually determined a suggested first course of action to get the process going. So the question was, who goes first? So I looked at Katie, and it would be the police department. They're the ones, they're the problem child. They're the most unsafe. It was a safety issue. So then the next question was, are they going to move first? Is that the department that will move first? And I looked at them, I said, yeah. And then I'm like, wait a minute. If that department, you're going to come over here and assess this building and take a look at this and see what they need for space needs now and forecast into the future, is this building going to suit them? If the answer is yes, then they're not moving first. Then we go back and figure out what the building is going to look like, at least take a look up on the land we own. Then the question was, if this is not, then the answer to the question was, they would be moving first because then we'd have to build something someplace else for them first. So yesterday it was decided that it was the police department's needs that would be looked at first and foremost, and in conjunction with that because of the safety issue, but also that storage was another important component of where we were going to, how we were going to plan the new building. So, in other words, we took a look at, they're going to take a look at this building here and see, they took pictures and see what we have here, and then they took pictures up at the old town hall and the land behind it to see if there's any way that we could utilize that facility, maybe raise it like they've done the other buildings in town and connect it to the land behind it, or if it's feasible just to build something behind it. So they're going to come back to us with some ideas that they have. And at that point, we had talked last week about then involving the department heads. Because I think that in the two reports, it addresses all the buildings that we currently have. What we realized yesterday is we didn't include recreation and welfare. Because they had a building. When that report was done, they had a building. That building's no longer with the town.
No.
So they had to be included to back. They had to be put back on the list of needs. So they're going to come back to us, and then, looking at the spaces that we're possibly looking at utilizing either here and or up there to see what's feasible for the town to utilize for space. Period. For an area in which we can, let's say we're building 4,300 square feet, or if we're building, 2,800 square. What are we building? How much can we build on what we have? And then go from there, so that we can talk to the department heads to see what first and foremost the police department needs. It'll dictate the first move of the domino effect. The age-old question has been answered, John.
Be the first domino to fall.
That's right. And that's the first department. Are they the first to move? That's the question.
Right, because the question is this, would this building be adequate for them now and years down the road? And if not, then that'll have some implications, and if so, that'll have other implications. So it's kind of a...
And can we even build something up on that land that we've bought a few times over that it would was dictated in warrant articles for the future home of a town office? Is that land big enough? Is it even buildable? So they're going to come back to us and give us some of those answers to those questions.
We're going to have to look at size of that. We're going to have to look at access to that. We're going to have to look at
so there is
the ability
some...
to get facilities there.
Yes. That and actually those were all issues that were addressed yesterday. These guys were great. I mean, they were like... Between the three of them, they just brainstormed off each other. And then, you know, Katie and I just sat here and they kind of like just picked our brain. And because I'd like been on all these like boards, committees, and commissions, and I answered the question, and I said, wait a minute. And then you got to like think about it, because it's not, you don't always have the right answer. There's no right answer here. There really isn't. But there has to be a starting point. And after all these years, I left yesterday with a deep breath, like, wow, we actually have a starting point. So that's what's happening with that. We're going to wait to hear back from them, as well as wait to see the contract that comes in so we can sign it. And then we'll go from there and then determine which facility goes first.
So before you could appoint members of the Space Needs Committee, you would need to vote to reinstate that and give them a charge and what have you, because you talked about that last week.
Right. And so then the other question, the other thing that we had talked about yesterday was that reigniting the Space Needs Committee and giving them a charge, what wasn't covered yesterday is in those reports, because they're going to go back and read the reports. I don't want to waste anybody's time. I personally don't see the need to revitalize the Space Needs Committee, because the next step in the process has already been determined. They're going to come back to us, the professionals, and now going to come back to the town and say, this is what we think you have for space, how do you want to fill it? And then it becomes the department heads, but not all the department heads are residents of the town, so I caution about doing that whole appointment thing like they've done in the past. It didn't make it right. That I thought that maybe we could bring the department heads to a meeting with the BPS people and then go from there. Like, they have the H.L. Turner report that we all paid for, and there's suggested space needs in the back of that for a building. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yeah.
And there's also what their scope is in their report. So they have both of that. They took the pictures yesterday. We actually went into the attic of the old town hall. It's kind of creepy, but it's old wood. But yeah, so it was very educational, and I think that we're moving down the right path. But I don't see the need to reinstate the Space Needs Committee, because there isn't anything for them to actually do. They've done a great job and got us to here. So when we sign the contract with BPS, let's let the professionals take us to the next step. And then, if we're so inclined at that point, in that juncture, to reinstate the Space Needs Committee or some other committee to assist BPS, which I don't think that it didn't seem to me like they need any assistance yesterday, then we can do it then. But I think that we've studied the crap out of this. I think that we've met all this, and we met yesterday, and it took just a few hours to kind of put that first pin in place. It was the coolest feeling.
I didn't
feeling.
Think we needed the Space Needs Committee anyway.
Yeah, no,
I said why last time we talked about it.
Right, so after yesterday's conversation, John, we brainstormed, and I think that would just be another waste of their time, and they helped a great deal in getting us to here. So I think with that, we can just put that to rest. That would be my opinion.
And when we're at the Old Town Hall, you made the great suggestion that we need to make sure we include the town hall steward as well with
yes.
the department heads.
Yes, because he knows that building better than most, and he was also on the, he does the repairs and the upkeep of it, so he needs to, I would like to have him included if that's no hassle. Was there anyone else that I said? No, it was just that was the department heads. We included welfare and recreation that were not on there because they had a building. And then the old town hall steward.
Yeah, I think you covered it.
All right.
Yeah, next time you have a meeting with them, I'd kind of like to just sit in if I could.
So I didn't recognize, well, the guy came here and I thought he looked familiar. And then the other guys joined him yesterday and I said to him, I know you. Now I know where you're from. You guys all built the children's auction set. I see them every year. I'm thinking, I'm looking at the guy. I know him from somewhere. I didn't want to say that, though. But yeah, no, they were great. So I think we're on the right path, and I think that we're well on our way to hopefully solving the space needs, future needs of the town of Sanberton. Okay, do we have any other business?
I just wanted to let you all know, I'm sure an email will be going out, but CIP will be having their first meeting on October 22nd at 6 o'clock here.
October 22nd?
Yep.
At 6 p.m.?
At 6 p.m. And we do have a revaluation hearing that ends at 6, so they might have a little trouble with overlap, but I did recommend after 6, but... So it's 6 o'clock.
Did you let the chair know that they were?
Yeah, when I provided them with some dates, and I said that date after 6 o'clock. So worst case scenario, they might have to start.
Yeah,
a
with
late.
This. Yeah, that's right.
How does that fit in with Deb's being able to be the other?
I had heard that the planning board wanted to wait until after they have their first meeting and determine their schedule before they vote on who their other representative would be. So it would have to be after.
Did you folks have any comments or anything you wanted to make?
We're still listening and figuring out what's going on.
Okay.
Since we're your neighbors,
yeah,
we figured that if we...
Yeah. We butt here. We
if we knew what was going on, we wouldn't be so concerned to see a bulldozer going up and down the street.
Okay, well, thank you for coming to the meeting.
Oh, for the building, you mean?
Yeah, because we're butters here, and we live across the street from the church.
22 Meeting House Hill Road with
okay.
the house across from the...
We own the land there. And
behind here?
Behind here and next door to you as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I do understand your concern, but I don't think there's any expansion issues that would ever come out here because I think it's all pretty much wet and steep slope. So they discussed that also. So if that helps at any level that they were here. So they came out here and they did, if I can go back. They did go out back here. And so we actually found the plans for the drainage and all that other stuff so that if anything were to happen here as far as expansion, it would have to be within the bounds of here.
In the same footprint.
That's right. And so they were talking about like a sally port, which they don't think because of the slope of the driveway. So worst case, it would be out to here. And then when the life safety building is taken over as the fire department, it's just going to be within the confines of that building. So we weren't forecasting any additional space to go back. They said that we couldn't go up because of ADA issues and stuff. So I don't believe that you have any kind of worry. You're welcome at every meeting just to keep informed. Thank you for coming.
And what's the probability of going out behind the old town hall?
So the probability of going out behind the old town hall yesterday was looked at. They're going to come back and let us know. We own the land out there, so... they were thinking, we're looking at options of either raising it and using it and attaching something to it, or if that's not feasible, because we could put the storage in the basement or whatever with a walk-in basement or whatever, or would it be just feasible to build out back and then have like a wraparound in
driveway.
Like a horseshoe kind of driveway kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they have to add... Absolutely.
Yeah. The car sitting bottom constantly going up.
Right, and they would obviously do it to grade. They took a bunch of pitches, and these guys are they're experts, and they're great. They were actually thrilled about the building and stuff. So it was either to raise the building and use it and add on, and or if that wasn't feasible, then they were going to look at. They're looking at the structural integrity of the old town hall, and if we were to raise that, what would it do to the building? As not to damage the, historical nature to the town of it all.
Yeah, it's very historic.
But, right, and so they've done that at the other two churches, and that's where the idea had been passed across, the old town hall steward, and a few others had discussed that issue.
The church, they went down.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I remember that. So, those are the options that we're looking at right now. Nothing's been etched in stone. The contract's not even signed. But those are the options that we're looking at. You're welcome to come to every meeting.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
We butt that way, kind of, and we butt this.
We surround you.
We're surrounded. Well, that's the good news.
We give up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. So I'm sorry.
No other business after just CIP meeting October 22nd, 6 p.m.
Okay, I got that. All right. That's good to know. I don't think I got my email today. No, actually, I didn't get any email today. And I didn't get the minutes again.
And I tried to send you an email last week, and it bounced back as undeliverable, like it was noting my email as suspicious. Maybe your spam filter needs to be adjusted. Maybe you could email Dave Sweetag and see if he could look into that for you, because I haven't received an email bouncing back on minutes from you, but when I tried to forward you the budget documents, it was bouncing back as undeliverable.
So I'm thinking that the last time I had something done too, I just got an invoice in the mail. I think it was something for that too. So I'll have to check with them for that too. Spam filter check.
I have two things.
Email. Okay. Gotcha. All right. So we're all done. Other business. How we're in selectmen's reports, John.
We had a recommission meeting last night, and they discussed the budget. I sat back and didn't do anything with them because I'll have to vote on it here. It's just like with the planning board. I didn't make any recommendations or anything because I have to vote on it here, so I don't feel like do anything with it there. They can put it together. Looks like a good budget. They're going to hold the line with everything but one item, and that's they're adding another lifeguard because people at Hermit Lake are asking for a lifeguard, and the money wasn't in there for the lifeguard, so they're going to have money in for two lifeguards, one for Winnisquam and one for Hermit.
Did they have any questions about the direction from the Board of Selectmen as far as the pay matrix and what was going to happen to that?
No.
Okay.
The trunk or treat is going to go on. There's a flyer out now, I believe, and they got a lot of positive comments last year about that because this gave people who were in an area where houses were spread way apart, it gave them a place to come bring their kids and the kids could do their trick-or-treating there. And they were really happy about that. So
yep.
They're going to do the trunk-or-treat again this year. I don't have my paperwork with me, so I don't remember the name. They're also going to do the Halloween party for the school and get that done.
That's on the Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Because everything's on the Sunday, but the Halloween party's on Saturday.
Yeah. It's the same day that the fire department's doing their pancake dinner.
Oh, yeah, they're doing like pancake dinner or something like that.
That's Sunday. So you've got trunk or treat, pancake dinner, and trick or treat on Sunday.
Yeah.
But the party is Saturday.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
So
it's a big, fun-filled, sugar-filled weekend.
Yeah.
Glad my kids
that's basically it for the... for the rec department. They've got programs starting up right now. The co-ed volleyball is starting up. The co-ed pickleball is starting up. The adult co-ed volleyball and adult co-ed pickleball is starting up. They've got a trip going on the 18th, I think, to King Arthur. And one other place up there, they've got pretty much a full bus. Both my wife and I are going on that one.
Nice.
I need to resupply my baking pantry.
Oh my gosh.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Right.
So that's pretty much that. We'll be getting their budget. It looked pretty good from what I had, but then we need to sit down and go over it.
Okay.
The second thing I've got is I have been contacted by several residents over in the area that I live in about the speed of people on Collison and on Levitt Road. One lady said she walks her dogs on Levitt, and it wasn't my wife, by the way. She walks her dogs on Levitt, and she had on four separate incidents where she almost got hit, either her or the dogs almost got hit by somebody doing 40 to 50 miles an hour down Levitt Road. I've had a couple of people on Collison tell me that that road's being used like a raceway?
In that, it is. It's that's the main detour artery. I mean, it's on Levitt too, but they're taking Collison. They're sending the trucks down Collison.
Unfortunately, most of the big trucks are going down Levitt.
They're supposed to be going on Collison. They,
I know, and I keep calling Johnny on that. And I mean, this morning at 7 o'clock, I counted three of Lyman's dump trucks full. One right after the other, going down in front of my house in Levitt Road. And,
so we'll need to get in touch with Johnny.
I keep telling Johnny, and Johnny keeps supposedly telling the boss.
Do you think it would be appropriate for us to send a letter to Lyman Construction?
Yes.
Because with all the complaints that we've been receiving, their trucks are part of the speeding, and I've watched them. They don't even stop at the stop sign at the end of Collison Road.
Nope.
So whether they're doing the detour, they're not using... Those are all brand new roadways over there that we just, as taxpayers, spent the money on, and we will be taking over the road that they're repairing. Nonetheless, it's all tax dollars.
And I've noticed on the shoulder work that the company did, we've got some... They put some big ruts in the shoulder on the lower end of...
So they need to follow the direction. We need to make sure from Johnny Van Tassel what direction he's given them, Katie, and if we could put that from the board, as well as that they need to obey the speed limits.
Yeah. Well, it's not just Lyman. It's other people,
but
too. It was other people who this lady said almost hit her.
Right, but then...
I mean, I can see it. You come up over the crest of the hill there, you start down, there's one little flat spot, but it's all downhill, and you can't help but pick up speed unless you ride your brakes.
So when Chief came in last week with the data from that piece of equipment over there, I am pretty sure in short fashion we'll be able to have him come back to us with some data to... adjust the speed limit accordingly to whatever the recommendation would be at that point of him and the highway director, because I've seen them slow down on Lower Bay Road. Not much. At least I can tell you the color of the car that's driving by now.
Yeah.
But the trucks are not stopping at that stop sign.
Plus we had on Levitt, they were building that one house and they were parking their trucks actually in the road. They were taking up that one whole lane of the road with the construction vehicles.
So that's a safety issue. That should be reported to the police department.
Yeah. And one lady said if the police would come over there, the bad time is from 6 to 9 and from about 3 to 6 or 4 to 6 in the afternoon.
Have they made the phone call?
I think this lady was going to write a letter to you.
So if there's
an email or something.
If there is an immediate danger for the safety of the public, it needs to be reported to the police department in short fashion.
I didn't get an email today. I can't remember if it was that road, but I forwarded it to the police chief.
Okay. The construction on that one house is almost finished, and I've noticed there's been less vehicles.
We had the problem over on my road. I didn't call it to the police department. I have vocal cords, so I just took care of it myself.
Yeah, well, I've talked to the people
on the
construction site, and they said, well, there's nowhere else to park. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but
you're causing a safety issue here. Yeah, well, that's what happened on my road, and they were all parked in the road, and in order for me to go around, I would have to go around someone that was parked going this way on the wrong side of the road. But to come around that way, I have a kid on the road. So
they were literally closing the road down to where it was one lane, and possibly at times even a very narrow one lane.
Yeah, and it's very dangerous, these roads are not all that wide to begin with. So if there's an immediate safety hazard, it needs to be called into the police department and not funneled through this office, because it goes right. It should go right to the police department. If they don't respond, then the next recourse and chain of command would be to come through this office, and then we could take action. But I think we've asked enough times for these people to slow down, especially the construction company, that we could at least, we can only control what we have authority over. So I think if we start there, let's set the example. But I think that the sign, the speed limit sign on Lower Bay Road is doing some
education. One of the other suggestions was that we put that speed limit sign on Levitt or Collison.
You let them know that we're collecting data right now, and data has to be for so many days.
I did. I told them this is part of a road study having to do with speed limits. But they said if people started seeing that sign on that road, they would maybe start slowing down more. But
right.
These were just suggestions that came from citizens. So.
All right. Well, if they're on the road again, they should be calling the police department for that immediately.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is it. This is all I had.
All right. So I met with the transfer station manager to go over the budget. I was just talking to April. I have to do the formatting to send it back to him. I have all the stuff. We discussed the how that's going to look. So I worked with him with that. I went through the highway director's winter maintenance policy, and I gave him some wordsmithing and suggested corrections for that. Well, I've been busy. I got some quotes for the transfer station so we can do the computer and the interface for a cash register. Had the meeting yesterday. We already did that. And I think that's all I had to report. But I do want to call a non-public session in accordance with 91A3, Roman numeral 3A, right?
3-2.
3-2, right. So 91A3-2A. The dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee, or the disciplining of such employee, or the investigation of any charges against him or her, unless the employee affected has the right to a meeting, request that meeting be open, and in which case the request shall be granted. Selectman present, Tom Salatello, no. John Olmstead?
Yes.
Yes. Katie North, yes. Motion to enter non-public session made by North, seconded by
Olmstead.
All right, it's this one. And roll call vote to enter non-public. Olmstead?
Aye.
North, yes. Salatello, no. Remove public meeting tape. Enter non-public session at 6:12 p.m. Thank you.